In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, if you're able to stand, if you could please stand, just out of reading the Word of God. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5 verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to be able to preach, and I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, I thank you for your willingness to die on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt. Lord, I'm thankful that you promised that when we get saved to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that you promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I'm thankful that we live in America, the land of the free. And even though we're seeing our freedoms being taken away, I'm so glad, Lord, that you allowed me to live in this great nation. Lord, I do pray that you would help us today to have our hearts open to the truth of your word. Lord, that we would take it in, we would study it, that we would allow you to speak to us. And Lord, I pray that if there would be those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray today would be the day that they get saved. And Lord, I pray for the Christians that are here. Lord, I pray that their hearts would be comforted. I pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we leave here to be a witness for you. Help the boys and girls downstairs to be able to glean from the truth of the scriptures as they'll be taught. And Lord, I also pray for those that can't be here because of health and work. Lord, I pray that you just help them to be able to recover and be able to make it back. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So we're in the book of 1 John chapter 5. We started this, I believe, 3 weeks ago. So we're doing a mini-series in this Back to the Basics. And what's there? We talked about the scripture. What's the scripture? It's the word of God. Amen. And we could see what this portion of scripture was given to us is God's word. We talked about the word itself, eternal. What does eternal mean? The word itself, eternal, means without end. Amen. So the reality is God's telling you when you get saved, he'll give you eternal life. And then we talked about how you get that eternal life. It's only through Christ. Amen. There's people out there who believe all kinds of crazy things. I have told others this example, and I'll tell you again. I ran it one time. I had worked with a gentleman that was Hindu. And a Hindu, he came over from India. I worked at Citibank at the time. And this Hindu came over with other people. They were learning our systems. And as you can imagine, at that time, unfortunately, what company do, they outsource things, and they were getting ready to outsource it. But I met this Hindu man, and he said, "My people," he kept on saying, "my people," speaking of the Indian people, he said, "we're Hindus," or most of them are Hindus. He said, "We believe that anything can become a god." And I remember listening to that, and I was by a computer screen. We had a little mouse that's there for the computer that you can use. I guess now you can use your finger, and it's touch screen and everything else. But he said, "My people, we believe this mouse, the computer mouse, becomes a god." He said, "Because if we believe everything becomes a god," he said, "we will not miss it." And I remember him saying something similar to, "I don't believe that." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, isn't that amazing?" I said, "God flew the whole way over from India, the whole way over here, and sit you down beside someone that's in Bible college that knows the God of heaven, and I love to tell you." He said, "Will you come over tonight to my place and tell me?" I think he said tonight or the other day. I said, "I would love to." And I remember going over to his house, sitting down, telling this Hindu about Jesus Christ, that he is the only way to heaven. Amen. But see, the truth of the matter is, if you really want to know the truth, God Almighty will reveal it. Nature itself shows you that there's a God. Amen. You search, God will reveal himself to you. Amen. But salvation is only through Christ. There's people that are trusting in other things. There are people trusting in works. There are people trusting in baptism. There are people trusting joining a church or giving money. Amen. The reality is they will not get you to heaven. It's only through Christ. Amen. And then we started to get into last week is evidence of salvation. evidence of salvation. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Amen? Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. See, there's a mindset, and I believe in churches all across America, churches all across the land. There's a lot of people that goes to church, and some very faithful, that will say that they're a Christian. But the reality is they have no fruit of being saved. Amen? I'll show you a scripture. You look back here to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. What we believe should always be based on the Bible. Amen? So look back here to Matthew chapter 7. Excuse me. I apologize for drinking a little water. Sometimes I get things stuck in my throat. To be able to drink. So, and if you ever need water, there is some water that's in the back, so feel free to grab some. In Matthew chapter 7, look what the Bible says down here in verse 21. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We went through that. What is the will of the Father? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. He says this in verse 22, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" You imagine there's going to be, when someone dies, there could be a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. We have a missionary we support that goes to India. He got up and he preached a service. He had a week that he preached. And in that service, the pastor that was in that service was not saved. Can you imagine that? He gave the invitation. When he gave the invitation time where people could respond to the message, the pastor himself came forward because he was trusting in something other than Jesus Christ. That's hard to fathom. Amen? But the reality is, when you think about it, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" There's people that are trusting in works. And ultimately, he said, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And he says this at the end of verse 23. This is extremely important. "And then I will profess unto them, I never..." You may mark your Bible. I mark my Bible. I have cross-reference. Amen. This is... words are important. Amen. Words are extremely important. He said, "I never..." Amen. "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What's that mean? They were never saved. Amen? Because if they were saved, he would have never said, "I never knew you." Amen? He would have said, "I knew you at one time, and then you lost your salvation." He said, "I never knew you." Amen? They were never saved. They did not know Christ as their personal Savior. He said, "I never knew you." See, the reality is, we can see from this scripture, what's he telling us? There's going to be people that claim to be a Christian. When I was 5 years old, I would have told you that I was a Christian. I remember I was sitting at a church in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And when I was sitting in that church, someone was teaching at the lesson. And I remember they were saying, "If you want to go to heaven, raise your hand." I was five-year-old boy, I was afraid of hell. And I remember raising my hand. I remember him saying, "Hey, you pray this prayer." I had no idea. Amen. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell, but I wasn't trusting in Jesus. Amen. I was just trusting in this prayer. So as a five-year-old boy, I went for the next 20 years extremely religious. My life had no fruit. Drunk, drugs, you name it, I was in it. Amen. Why was that? Because I never knew God. Amen. And that's what we're talking about is evidence. When you get saved, there's going to be changes. We started last week, and I gave you 5 points, and I said it won't be long, and I didn't think it was going to be long. Amen. It was going to be long. Amen. Now I have the other 5 points. Amen. The first point, I'll go real fast through those 5 points. The first point is this: you should have a testimony. If you're saved, you can give me a testimony of how you got saved. Amen. The second point was this: you should love the brethren. If you're saved, that means you're going to love your Christian brothers and sisters. Amen. Now we may not all agree. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, you love them. Amen. Now I know... see, we may not all agree. Amen. Because I think the greatest thing dessert is apple pie. Amen. Now I know you guys are just still growing spiritually and some of you are there and others aren't. Amen. What I'm saying is there's things we may not agree on. But the reality is this, when you get saved, you love your brother. When Saul got saved, he turned into Paul. He was with the Christians. Amen. You love them. If you have a problem being around Christians, you better find out, because the Bible says if you're saved, you're going to love your brother. Amen. So that was the second point. Third point is this, you should have the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness that you're a child of God. You read through the Bible, the Scripture will tell you, amen, Holy Spirit will reveal to you that you're a child of God. The fourth thing, again, these are fast. We went through this last week. You should have a desire to keep God's Word. Amen. If you have no desire to keep the Word of God, that's because there's something wrong. Amen. The fifth point we went through is this. You should be bearing good fruit. Amen. You should be bearing fruit. The fruits are, you can see that in the book of Galatians, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, and I forgot. Amen. Peace, I think peace is in there. Joy is in there. Amen. You should have fruit, good fruit. Amen. Now I'm going to go to the other five. Amen. So if you're saved, you should have a testimony. You should love your brother. You should have a desire to keep God's Word. You should have the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. You should be bearing good fruit. And here's number six. If you're saved, are you chastened by the Lord? Here's number six. Or if you're going A, B, C, D, this would be F. Are you chastened by the Lord? What do I mean by that? Well, look over here to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Are you chastened by the Lord? Look here what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5, it says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Look here in verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scorneth every son whom he receiveth." I'm going to read this and I'll go back and explain it. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers," this speaks of Christian, "then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, ye have fathers of your flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto this father of spirits in life? For they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, though we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Amen. That's a portion of Scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 5 through verse 11. So let me sum this up and try to help you. Amen. What the Bible's saying is this. If you are a child of God and you start living in a way that you should not, you know that's wrong. Amen. God wants you to go this way. This is the path. Amen. And you start turning around and start going the opposite way. What's going to happen is, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, He's going to start working on you. When you start thinking about, hey, that looks pretty good back there, the Holy Spirit's already going to start working on you and say, hey, you know that's not right. You know you shouldn't be thinking about that. And then what happens is, the Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we can quench the Holy Spirit. Because God has given us a free will, we may say, but I want to try it. And we try it. Amen. The devil lies to us. He has always lied. He's been a liar from the beginning. He has always been a liar. And what this devil tries to say is, hey, if you do something wrong, and there should be this fire that comes down from heaven. Amen. God doesn't work that way. Amen. And what happens is you do something wrong, you're thinking, there's no fire. I guess I'm good. Amen. And then if you watch, it's amazing how God works. God will have someone give you a phone call that's a Christian and say, hey, we missed you. Hey, what are you doing? Amen. Or you'll start doing something and ultimately you'll see someone and it's like, oh no, you know, what is it? The Holy Spirit's trying to use them to tell you something's wrong. And what happens? You may say, I don't care. And you start going that way. You start going into that direction. What this scripture is saying is this, that ultimately God will chasten you, similar to, not like your parents did. When I was a little boy, and this may be hard to believe, amen, but I wasn't the best boy, amen, and didn't listen to my parents like I should have, amen. But I know there was more than one time, two times, I'm not going to tell you all the times, amen. They had to correct me because I don't have enough time to tell you all of them, amen. But I remember there was a time where I did something I shouldn't have done. And it was bad. Really bad. And I remember ahead of time that my parents told me, you do something like that, you're going to get correction. And I knew what that meant. My dad was going to take me to the wood shop, amen. Or woodshed, whatever you want to call it, amen. I knew that was going to happen. And I remember I did it wrong. And ultimately, it's amazing how God brings it about, amen. And I got found out. And I remember my dad told me, he said, hey, boy, you need to go up to my bedroom. I knew what that meant. And I remember on my way up there, I wasn't the smartest kid in there. I remember I took a book and I put it on my backside and I thought, Joe, I was going to trick my dad. And I remember getting up and somehow my dad figured it out. I don't know why. Maybe it was because of this big book that was standing out there. I don't know what it was. But all I can tell you is this. My dad corrected me. And I knew what my dad, it wasn't punishment. It was correction. And the reason why, when you think about correction, when the Bible talks about discipline, it speaks of correction. Amen. It's not punishment, it's correction. Why? Because God wants you to go this way. My dad wanted me to go this way. My dad didn't want me to back talk to my mom again because that's disrespectful. Amen. So what my dad was doing was correcting me to say, son, you go this way. And what God's going to do is similar to what it says here, is He's going to correct your life. You start to go this way, God's going to warn you, and you're not listening, and God's going to wake you up by chastening you. Amen? You're going to know it's God. I won't tell you, see, as a Christian, we still make bad decisions. Amen? We still have the sin nature that we deal with. Amen? And I remember there was a time in my life, I did something the Holy Spirit was warning on me and said, hey, you know better. And I did it anyway. And let me tell you, God chastened me. I knew it without a doubt. Let me tell you, I do not want to go that way again. Amen? He didn't do it because He hated me. You know, when you have children, and you correct them, it's not out of hatred. I never understood it. Well, my dad said, son, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Now, I don't have children. The reality is, I understand it now that I got older. When I was a little kid, I used to think, well, Dad, why don't we switch, amen? Because I know that this hurts really bad, amen? Let's switch, amen? If it's going to hurt, that's more correction to me, amen? But the reality is, it's because my dad did not want to do that. Because He loved me. My dad did not want me to go that way. So He corrected me. And what the Bible is saying is this. If you can start walking away from God, and God's not chastening you, well, the reality is you have to realize either God's telling the truth, or God is lying. Amen? And what the Bible is saying is this. You start walking away, and you have no chastisement. That's because you're not His. Amen? It's quite easy. Amen? The Bible is clear. Amen? So ask yourself, when you start doing things that you shouldn't, amen, does the Holy Spirit start dealing on your heart? I'm not talking about a conscience. We all have a conscience. God has given people a conscience. But the Holy Spirit start chastening. You see it. He'll start warning you and say, hey, you know that's not right. And you start walking away, and ultimately what will happen? You'll be chastened. Amen? So ask yourself, are you chastened? Amen? Can you see that in your life? Hopefully you're not being chastened now, amen? But the reality is, that's the goal, amen? Walk with the Lord that you're not being chastened, amen? Here's the next point. So if you have chastisement, the reality is, it's a blessing. Not going through the chastisement, but afterwards. You know why? Because I know I'm a child of God, amen? Because He loves me. The Bible's clear. If He doesn't chasten you, it's because you're not His. Here's the next point. Does God speak to you through His Word? Look here in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you need help, you can go to the front of your Bible and concordance. You'll see Corinthians. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look down here at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Does God speak to you through His Word? Does God speak to you through His Word? Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, this speaks of someone who's lost, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here's the next point. Does God speak to you through His Word? What this scripture is saying is this. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And since the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you, when you start reading the Bible, you're going to start understanding it. Does that mean you're going to understand everything? No. Amen? But you'll start understanding things, picking things up. Before I got saved, accepted Christ as my Savior, I used to pick up my Bible. My parents, I was raised in a Christian home. I remember they gave me a Bible, a gift Bible, probably when I was about 5 years old. And I had that Bible, and I think I probably still have it today. And I remember, because I wasn't saved, I used to take that Bible and go to it and read it and be thinking, I don't understand what they're talking about. What is it? What is it? And constantly through my life, I could never understand the Bible. Now, there were some stories that I knew. Amen. Why was that? Well, because I was in Sunday school. They used to teach me about David and Goliath. They used to teach me about Daniel and the lion's den. Amen. So I would always go to those stories and say, look, see, I can understand. It's because of what they taught me. But when I go to the Bible, I could never understand it. Why? Because I was the natural man. I was spiritually discerned. I didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me until I got saved. I tell you, that day that I got saved back in 2002, I opened up my Bible, and you know, this Bible is alive. Amen? This Bible speaks to me. Not in an audible voice. Amen? God doesn't speak to me and say, Dad, this is God. Amen? If you have that, please see me. We need to talk. Amen? But He speaks to me through His Word. There's things I'm going through. I'll spend time in prayer. I'll get down and pray and say, Lord, I need help. I need comfort. I need encouragement. And next thing you know, I pick up my Bible, and the next chapter that I'm reading, I go through, I recommend reading the Bible cover to cover. Amen? Just go right through it, amen. So start Genesis and in Revelation. After you finish, go back and start, amen. And I remember I'm on the next chapter I'm going to read. I picked it up and start reading. And there it is that God says, here's your answer. Why is that? Because God speaks to us through His Word. I remember a time I was working at Citibank. And as I was walking down the area that was there, there was a young lady that was there. As I get older, it seems like most people are getting younger, amen. And soon I'll look at everyone. Everyone will be younger. Lord willing, amen. Because you know what that means? Beats the alternative, amen, dying young, amen. But I'm going to try my best to live as long as God allows. But I remember talking to this, hearing this young lady telling her friend, she said, you know, because her friend was witnessing to her, and she said, when I pick up that Bible, I don't understand it. My question then was, well, do you know the author? Because the reality is, if you know this author, this Bible will speak to you. Amen? It's evidence of salvation. Now, there's sometimes, does that mean every single time that I read the Bible, I glean something? Well, what could happen is this. Sometimes I pick up my Bible and I don't want to really read. You may say, well, you're a pastor. Well, I'm just being honest. Amen? You know what happens? God starts dealing on me and say, hey, what are you doing? Amen? You need to, you know, this is my word. Amen? And what I need to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen? And sometimes in my life, amen, because this is just being truthful, sometimes I'll take in my life and I'll try to read as fast as I can. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Slow down, amen. See, sometimes there's reasons why I may not glean something from the Scripture. It's because of myself, amen. It's because of my actions. It could be because sin is in my life. It could be ultimately because I really don't want to learn, amen. That's just being honest. There's sometimes, my wife's not up here, so I could say it. Amen. If she was up here, I'm just joking. Amen. Sometimes my wife will say something to me. We'll have to make sure on the CD we cut this out. Amen. So that way there's no evidence of it. Amen. But anyway, my wife, I'm just joking. My wife will say something to me. And a lot of times, I think it happened yesterday. It's a common thing, I think. Amen. And, there's only so long I'm going to be able to say it's my hearing, and I don't know, amen. But what happens is she'll say something, and ultimately I'm not paying attention like I should, amen. She'll say something, and it's like, all right, we were talking about something yesterday. I think it was she was doing the laundry, amen. And I gave that example before. It's a good thing she does it, not me, amen. But anyway, I asked her, I said, honey, are you doing the laundry, finishing up the laundry? But I was watching something, and I wasn't paying attention as much as I should. You know what happened 5 minutes later? I asked her, I said, honey, are you still doing the laundry? She said, honey, I just told you 5 minutes ago, amen. I said, oh, What did you say? Yeah, I am. Oh, I said, oh, okay. See, there's sometimes where I'm not paying attention. Amen? Where ultimately, when my wife says something, it's because, and usually I tell her, I said, Debbie, you need to get my attention. When you're talking to me, if I'm watching something, if I'm reading something, you need to get my attention. I'm a man, I can only do one thing at a time. Amen? So I'll be the first to admit that. Amen? And I'll say, get my attention. But the reality is sometimes when I'm reading, God wants to have my attention. But I'm not paying attention. Amen? Does that make sense? But the truth of the matter is, God speaks to me. Every single time, if I'm in the Spirit, things are right, I'm telling you, God speaks to me through His Word. I'm in the book of Jeremiah. I just read the book of Jeremiah going through. And I was thinking there, God spoke to my heart. One of the examples was, sometimes as a pastor, you can get weary. Truth is, you don't have to be a pastor. As a Christian, you get weary. And sometimes we think, whoa, we feel like fainting. Then I read the book of Jeremiah and I was thinking, Lord, I have never come close to what the prophet Jeremiah went through. And God used that to speak to my heart and say, hey, you know, the truth of the matter is, you haven't been through close anything what other people are going through. Amen? Now that's not downplaying, that's not saying the trials we go through are nothing. Amen? But I'm saying God used that because He knew I needed that as an encouragement. But at the same time, God encouraged me through the same scriptures that I was reading was Jeremiah preached the truth. And there were people that did not listen. Amen? Now, this may be hard to imagine. Amen? But the truth is, not everyone listens. Not everyone comes to church with an open heart. Amen? The reality is, you can come here with your heart closed. God's trying to speak to you, but your heart's closed. You're not listening to Him. He's trying to get your attention and saying, hey, you know, I want to tell you something. I want to make sure that you're going to heaven or you're going down the wrong path. And the reality is we could have a closed heart. Amen? See, the Scripture does that. Every single day. And it's amazing. I could be in the book of Jeremiah. I can be in the book of Isaiah. I could be in the book of Genesis. And God's... Why is that? Because it's evidence of salvation. Hey, I'm going to tell you the next point. Next point is this. Are you enduring for the Lord? Are you enduring for the Lord? I'll explain that. Look over here to the book of... in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews. Are you enduring for the Lord? Let me explain what that means. Amen. Look over here to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Are you enduring? That word enduring, what I mean by that is continuing on. Continuing on. Amen. Look here what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it says, take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our conscience steadfast unto the end. Amen? And what this is speaking of is enduring. It talks about continuing. There's references in 1 John 2, 18 and 19. It says, little children, it is the last time that we've heard that the Antichrist shall come. Now there are many Antichrists. Whereby we know this the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. In Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 it says, now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So what do I mean? Are you enduring, continuing on for the Lord? The reality is, when you get saved, there's going to be that desire that's in your heart that you're going to want to continue on. Does that mean that you'll never turn away? Well, you could. Amen. You could turn sin and do things that you shouldn't. But you're always going to have that desire. There's going to be that desire in your heart. You could get betrayed. You can get stabbed in the back. You could have your closest friend. A lot of times it's not our enemies. Amen? We expect it from our enemies. Now, we may not have enemies. There may be enemies that do not like us. And it's not you. Don't take it personal. But it's usually because of Jesus Christ. They just hate His name. And the reality is, I had a point there. I was going to it. I lost it. Amen? It was in my mind. Oh, enemies. How do I go to it? enemies enduring. Oh, you get stabbed in the back. You can get stabbed in the back by those who are closest to you. It really hurts. Amen. Sometimes you get stabbed in the back. It shouldn't be that way, but family and friends. It hurts. The reality is sometimes you can get hurt by those that should never hurt you. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, I remember a time I was in a church. This is a true story. I do my best. I tell the truth. Amen. This is a true story. I was in a church. We had a ministration meeting. After the ministration meeting, there was the decision that was, they were voting on things. We were talking about buying, no, it wasn't at this church. Praise God, amen. But it was at another church I was in. You don't know it. You don't know the people. So, and I'm not going to mention the names, amen. But after the ministration, or during the ministration meeting, they were voting on about buying new lawnmowers. Now the reality is it'd been nice to have new lawnmowers, amen. The property we have is a pretty big property. And we all were thinking it's nice. And what we decided as a congregation, we said we would pray about it. I remember they asked questions. I raised my hand, and our pastor, he was a great guy, amen. And I said, well, just a few questions, you know, do we have enough money to pay for it? Amen. The reality is, if you have money, that's different, amen, to pay for it. And he said, well, right now, we're a little short. And I said, well, I think this, my opinion is, the best thing to do is to be pray about it and ask God to bring in what we're short with, amen, or work through the hearts of the people and let's bring it in. So, I thought that was a good idea, amen. So, other people agreed with it. People in the congregation agreed with it. Pastor said, yeah, that's a great idea. So motion was made. Motion was accepted. All in favor. Most people said amen, right? So motion was so carried. And then after the service, as I was leaving, next thing you know, one of the people in the church did not like that decision. And ultimately that person came right here in front of me from the door. And I said, hi. You know, how are you doing, amen? And anyway, that person said, if you don't get out of my face, this is during church, which is after the service, amen? He said, I'm going to knock you out. I'm thinking, oh my, you know? Well, the truth of the matter is, what I'm saying is, even sometimes in a Christian church, a good church, you can ultimately, sometimes people make bad decisions or in the flesh. Amen. What I'm saying is there's times things can happen where it could discourage you. The truth is, if I was a new Christian, just got saved, the chances are I would have probably never said anything, you know, in the church because I would have been new. I may have said something. I don't know. But the reality is that could have hindered me spiritually, right? But I would have continued to find another church. Amen. I've known people, and the good news is, I did what the Bible said. I prayed for that person. A month later, he got right. Amen. Bible works all the time. Amen. I know people that have gone to places and have been hurt, but they continue on. Why is that? It's because there's evidence of salvation. Amen. Evidence of salvation. Because they love the Lord. Amen. And the reality is, people will hurt you. It shouldn't be true, but people do. But the truth of the matter is, God never will. See, one of the evidences is this. You'll endure. You'll continue on. You may go through, like I was speaking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah came to that place in his life and said, I'm done. Paraphrasing it. Amen. I'm not going to talk anymore. Lord, this is getting me in trouble. You want me to go to kings and send them letters and tell them they're all going to go under the authority of Babylon? I'm not doing it. He said, I sat there, and what did the Bible said something similar to? How it burned within him. He had to say something. Amen. And the reality is, you can come to a place in your life where you're thinking, I'm done. I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. You know what happens? God Almighty will start working on your heart. And next thing you know, you may say, I'm not coming back next week. Amen. And then what happens next week? You're here. Amen. What happens? Because you're ignoring. Amen. What I'm saying is, it's wonderful when you see that. Amen. God's working on your heart. I got to fix this. Give me a second here. Amen. Apologize. That computer, we record it, put it on the internet, and also for people that can't come in. Once in a while, I think the devil gets in it, amen. You'll see it comes up and wants to reset, amen. So we're almost done, amen. Look over here to 2 Corinthians, almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I have two more points and I'll make them quick, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look down here, verse 17. Here's the next point. Are there changes in your life? Since you've been saved, are there changes in your life? Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what that scripture is saying? When you get saved, changes are going to start happening. Now, some people that have had church, have been brought up in a Christian home, you may see changes a little bit more evident. But at the same time, someone that was brought up in a Christian home, you may not see the changes in their life as much as someone that was out in the world living. Amen? You know, you have someone that's maybe, you know, 10 years old to get saved, or someone that's 6 years old, they're not going to stop drinking the beer. Amen? They weren't drinking beer, you know, 6 years old. But there's going to be start seeing changes in their life. I have seen people, little kids, they're 5 years old, and ultimately they come to church and think, wow, these are good kids, right? And they probably are good kids, amen? But they got saved, they went home, and their parents saying, hey, I've seen a difference in whatever their name was. They start caring about their brothers and sisters, amen? There's little changes. But what the Bible's saying is this, when you got saved, you go back to that day you got saved, there should be changes in your life. If you're telling me that you got saved and nothing has changed in your life. Everything is the exact same as when you got saved. Amen? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's either you're lying to yourself or God's lying to you. Amen? And we know God never lies. Amen? Titus 1:2. Amen? God cannot lie. And the reality is, the Bible's saying this, there's changes. I have run into people that have made, going back to that Matthew chapter 7, and made a profession of faith, amen? And there's been no change in their life. Nothing. They have no desire for God. Nothing at all. They have no desire for the Bible, no desire for keeping His Word. And I look and I think to myself, well, what is it? Well, it's because maybe they really did not believe, amen? Maybe they were doing it for the wrong reason. I have ran into people that said they made a profession of faith. You know why? Because they wanted to get married. I've ran into someone that told me that. They ended up making a profession of faith, ultimately, because they were thinking, if I say this, mom or dad is going to allow their daughter to marry me. That's what they said. And thank God this person stayed in church and ended up getting saved. Amen. What I'm saying is people do things and say things. Amen. But there should be changes. If you're telling me you're saved and you're the exact same as you were when you got saved, the truth of the matter is you're not. Amen? You're like one of those people that are mentioned in Matthew. Amen? There should be changes. Here's the last point. I told you I'd be fast on this one. Amen? Look back here to the book of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, look down here, verse 27. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. See, that's key, right? I know them. Amen. If you could lose your salvation, then He would never have said, I never knew you. Amen. I know them and they follow me. So here's the last point is this. Do you have the desire for the things of God? Do you have the desire? Here it is. He says, He knows them and they follow me. You can go through an example after example in the Bible, and you can find example after example of Christians, and what do you find is when they get saved, there's that desire to follow the Lord. Think of the lunatic. Remember the lunatic? I think I discussed that last week. Remember, he was in the caves, and what happened? He got saved. He wanted to follow Jesus. Amen? Then Jesus said, hey, don't follow me on the boat. You go back and tell your friends the wonderful things that God has done. What did he do? He went and did it. Amen. You remember Saul. Saul hated Christians. Put him in prison. Matter of fact, he was there when the judges ultimately came up and says, we have these people that are talking about the name of Jesus. Saul himself was there saying, hey, I put my word out that they were blaspheming God. He didn't know God. Amen. What happened when Saul got saved? We know his name's Paul, the Apostle Paul. And what did he do? Follow God. Amen. You think about others in the Bible, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a thief, stealing from the people. Amen. The truth is, I do not like paying taxes, but it's a law. Do it. Amen. The reality is, I like America. Amen. And we should be law-abiding citizens. Amen. Don't like when tax day comes, but I still pay my taxes. Amen. And I don't pay it by pennies, amen. I don't do that, amen. But the reality is, remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was someone that when they saw him, they're thinking, oh,
He's going to rip me off.
Remember when he got saved? He was up on that tree. He came down. He said, Lord, I'll pay them. I think he said fourfold. What happened? Changes. And he had a desire to follow God. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus got saved. And he came to Jesus at night. Amen. No one's looking, right? Lord, and he would start to talk to him. God knew his heart and told him. And then afterwards, when he got saved, you'll read later in the Gospels, what was it? Nicodemus was there, and he was pretty much professing, I'm a Christian, amen. There was that desire, amen. There was that change. Let me ask you in your life, can you see these points? The reality is, it's this. If you're a Christian, these 10 points I gave, you'll see them. They're evident. You can have a time where you got saved. You can see chastening. You see that desire. You see that following. You'll see that you're continuing to adoring. You have the Holy Spirit that beareth witness. That means you read the Scripture and the Holy Spirit tells you that, yes, you're a child of God. You read the Scripture and it reveals itself to you. You have seen changes in your life. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. Amen. God's, that song that his kids sing, He's still working on me. That is a very good song even for adults. He's still working on me. Amen. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but there's changes. I am not what I was back in 2002. Amen. God has changed me. And one day I will be what I should be. Amen. And I'll be when I get to heaven. But the reality is you should have these. If you don't, the reality is it's not because I'm making things up. I just gave you Scripture. Amen. I gave you 10 points directly from the Bible. You know, when I was 5, and I'll finish here, when I prayed this prayer, I could tell people the Romans Road. Matter of fact, I knew Scripture because it was put in my mind, amen, from my parents and also from classes that I went to. I knew Scripture. Matter of fact, when I would go to somewhere, I knew how to help some people because I knew Scripture, amen. God's Word never comes back void. He's always going to accomplish something. But the truth of the matter is there was no changes, no evidence. You know, I ended up getting saved, truly getting saved. You only get saved once, amen, when you're you truly trust Christ, was this. There was a preacher, an evangelist. It took years, amen. I remember I started going to a church, and I remember hearing for the first time who Jesus Christ is. He was God Himself, amen, that came down here, born of a virgin, who died on Calvary's cross for our sin. I remember the first time hearing that. I never knew that. Think, whoa! I remember sitting in the back. I was sitting way in the back hearing that. I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. God loves me that much. And I thought I was a Christian. I wasn't. Amen. And I remember after hearing that, I started to get convicted of my sin. And I would always go back and say, but I prayed this prayer. And that's why I was trusting in this prayer. I prayed this prayer. I was a deacon in a church. Imagine that. I was teaching boys and girls. And I remember I would hear preaching, and as I was sitting there, sometimes I would get mad. Why was that? Because I wasn't saved. I remember I traveled one place down to Tennessee. I had some tapes, and I was listening to this evangelist. I put this evangelist in. His name's Hal Webb. He's in eternity. He's in heaven. One day I'll meet him. I have never met him personally. I'm waiting for the day I meet him. I remember putting this tape in as I was traveling to Tennessee. Now, again, I was a deacon. I was teaching children. I was in Bible school. Amen. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean that you're saved. Amen. And I remember putting this tape in. I'm driving, and he was preaching on good and bad church members. And I remember at the beginning, he was talking about bad church members. Amen. And he said a bad church member is someone who's trusting. And he started naming these things of what you're trusting in salvation. He said, you're trusting in works. He said, maybe you're trusting in baptism to get you to heaven. I'm thinking, well, I'm not trusting in baptism. Amen. So I must be a good church member. Amen. He said, maybe you're trusting in giving your money to the church. I was even tithing at that time. I'm thinking, well, I'm a good one. Amen. And I remember he went through until he hit the one that says someone that's trusting just in a prayer. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When you get saved, there may be a prayer that custom. Amen. When you call out to the Lord, ask Him to save you. Amen. I'm not saying that's wrong in itself. Amen. It's the belief in the heart. When you have that belief in your heart, you can call out to the Lord to save you. Amen. But I was trusting in the prayer, what I actually did, not what He did. And that's what I was. And I remember when He preached that and it said, you're trusting in a prayer. I was sitting in that truck. I got so convicted, the Holy Spirit. I hit that button that was on the, at that time it was a cassette player. I hit that little button to eject it. I took that tape and threw it. If that window would have been down, I would have threw it out the window. I was a deacon. I was in Bible college. Why was it that the preaching of God's Word was convicting me? Because I wasn't saved. And I remember when I got home, I started to talk to people. But it was the Scripture that ultimately someone's preaching, and I went to the Scripture and realized, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Because I have no evidence. You know what I did on that day? In January, I think around 30th or 31st in 2002, I got down on my knees. I repented and trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior, believing that He died for me, was buried and rose again. I was not trusting in anything else, but in Him alone. And that day is the day, as Jesus said, you'll be born again. I was born again. And God started changing my life. The truth is, if you're saved, there should be some evidence. Those points that I gave, you should see that in your life. If you don't see it, ask yourself why. Is ultimately the Scriptures true? Well, if so, ask yourself, why not? Get it settled. Eternity is coming. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're senior. Make sure that you're saved. Because when you take your last breath, you don't get a second chance. You have one chance. Amen? And that's this life that God has given us. Make sure that you're going to heaven. Let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to be able to preach, Lord. I know I'm a little longer than normal, but Lord, I know that was what You wanted me to preach today. And I pray for these people that are here. Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people. Lord, I believe that probably most here know You as their personal Savior. Lord, maybe all of them do know You as their Savior. And Lord, what a wonderful blessing that is. But if there's one here today that does not know You as their personal Savior, they've never been saved. Lord, I pray that they would come forward when we do the invitational time with eyes closed and no one looking. They come forward and make it known. And we could have someone from the Scripture to show them what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I give You this invitation time. Pray Thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. With eyes closed and no one looking, if you're able to stand. If you